Good morning and welcome to Strength for Today, the preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church, an independent, fundamental, non-denominational Bible church in Winter Park, seeking to proclaim the whole counsel of God, to point all to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do all, as stated in Revelation 1:9, for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our speaker this morning is Central Florida Bible Church's pastor, John Pereira. You may wish to have paper and pen for important information following this message. For more information regarding prior broadcasts and other sermons by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. That's strengthfortoday.info, I-N-F-O. Now here is Pastor John proclaiming the Strength for Today.
I want to thank you for tuning in to Strength for Today Bible broadcast. I have a question to ask you this morning. Perhaps you're listening to my voice as you're in your home, or perhaps you're driving your car down the road this morning listening to our broadcast. Here's your question. Are you ready? If you were to die tonight, do you have 100% assurance that you would go to heaven? And if so, on what basis? We're going to be dealing with the subject of God's plan of salvation made plain. Harry A. Ironside, the great preacher and Bible teacher, was once preaching on a street corner in New York City. And as he was preaching, someone interrupted his message and said, "How do you know that you're right? There's so many religions in the world today. How do you know that you're right?" Dr. Ironside answered by saying, "There's only two religions in the world, the religion of Cain and the religion of Abel. The religion of the blood and dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ, his personal Savior, and dependence upon one's own efforts, one's own good works." I'd like to deal with the question about misconceptions of salvation. There are five misconceptions of salvation that I would like to deal with. We're going to be looking at misconceptions about salvation, the meaning of salvation, and the method of salvation. First of all, I'd like for us to look at the misconceptions about salvation. And there are five of them. The first misconception about salvation that I'd like to deal with is the one who says, "Well, I'm doing the best that I can. I'm trying to live the golden rule. I'm trying to follow the Ten Commandments. I'm doing the best that I can, and I believe that God will honor that." Well, have you ever thought of what the Bible has to say about that? In James chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of them all." I want you to picture in your mind's eye yourself dangling by a long chain of galvanized steel. And you're hanging over a 10,000-foot precipice. And you're looking at each one of those links in the chain, just hoping that every one of them will hold strong and true. And then all of a sudden, you see one of the links pop, and you fall to your death. I ask you a question. What good is it that the 459 other links held true if one of those links broke and you fell to your death? See, Jesus said that even if you should be so good as to keep most of the law of God, if you even offend in one point, you're not good enough to get to heaven. The Bible requires perfection for you to get to heaven. And that is why the Word of God says that every one of us is unable to satisfy the holiness and the righteousness of God. I want you to think of it this way. Let's say you're driving your car down the road. Some of you are doing that right now as I'm speaking to you. You approach a stop sign, but instead of making a full stop, you just kind of go to a crawl. You slow your wheels down, but you don't make a full stop. You crawl through that intersection, and there's a motorcycle police officer that sees you and immediately turns on that blue light, and he stops you and he starts writing you a ticket. I remember my mother was stopped by a police officer for rolling through one of those stop signs. The police officer walked up to the vehicle and immediately started writing out a ticket. And my mother said, "Officer, I've been driving for 35 years and I've never had a ticket yet." The police officer was rather unimpressed by that statement and kept on writing. And quickly he ripped off the citation, placed it in her hand, and curtly said, "Here, ma'am, this'll keep you going for another 35 years. You see, the point of that is, it only takes one law. It only takes one law broken for you to be a lawbreaker. You could drive perfectly for 35 years, but if you break the law in one point, you're a lawbreaker. And that's why the Bible says that all of us are sinners. Think of the young boy who gets locked out of his home, and all of a sudden he's thinking, "How in the world am I going to get in? Mom and Dad are traveling out on an engagement, and I'm locked out of the house." So he begins to walk all the way around the house, and then he thinks, "You know, I'm going to have to break a window to get in. But I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the most insignificant window in the house, namely the bathroom window, and I'm going to take my shoe off, and I'm only going to hit the lower right-hand corner of that window. Then I'm going to be able to stick my hand in and get the latch and open it up." So all of a sudden, he takes his shoe out, and he hits the window, and the whole window comes crashing down, even though he only hit it at one small point on the lower right-hand side. You see, even though he had only broken one portion, it affected his relationship to the whole. And the Bible says if we offend God's law even in one point on one occasion, we've broken our right relationship with the Lord and we're under condemnation and unable to get to heaven. So you see, the person that says that he's doing his best needs to realize what Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The only way that you can receive salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ is by accepting His free gift by faith. So the person who says he's doing his best will never be good enough. There's another misconception. Some people say, "Well, in order to get to heaven, I need to be baptized." And I was baptized. You know, the Bible teaches us that water can never take away sin. In 1 John 1:7, the Bible says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." The Word of God tells us that it's what Jesus did on the cross work of Calvary that takes away our sin. When Jesus Christ uttered those words, "It is finished," he meant that the price had totally been paid for us to receive eternal life. Some people say, well, why does the Bible say repent and be baptized in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Well, the Word of God says that we are to repent and we're to demonstrate a true heart repentance by outward obedience. But the outward obedience is the sign of having been saved. Literally, the Greek reads, repent and be baptized because of repentance of sin. And the concept being that baptism is an outward sign of a heart relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why a person follows the Lord in baptism. Baptism can never wash away sin. Baptism is a public testimony that we have received Christ as Savior and want to illustrate our union with Him outwardly before others as a testimony of His death, burial, and resurrection and what it means in our lives. Oh, water can never take away sin. As a young Catholic baby, I was baptized in water. The truth of the matter is, all that did to me was that it made me wet on both ends. Thirdly, some people say, well, it just isn't possible to know. You just can't know that you're saved. This was often said to me, even as I went to my priest and asked him as a young boy, how can I know for sure that I'll get to heaven? The answer was, you can't know. You have to keep on doing your good works. You have to keep on being obedient to the sacraments. You need to be obedient in the observance of the Mass. You have to be observant faithfully of the orders and the responsibilities as a young Catholic boy. And then perhaps, with the prayer and the intervention of the saints, you'll be able to enter into heaven by the works of supererogation of the saints credited to your account. Oh, the Bible says it is possible to know. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, the scriptures say, these things have I written unto you, that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. The word know there is the root word which means to know by faith. It's related in the Greek language to the verb to see, which means to see through the eye of faith. We can know through the eyes of faith that we have eternal life when we've settled the question in receiving Jesus Christ as personal Savior. I have a question for you. Do you think God wants you to walk around this world as a spiritual orphan? Do you think He wants to have you walk through this earth uncertain as to your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and your soul's salvation? Would you, as a parent, want your child to walk around with uncertainty as to your parentage towards them? Don't you think God wants us to know that He is our Heavenly Father and that we are His children by faith? God has given us that assurance if we will take the steps to receive by faith that which He has provided for us. Oh, it's possible to know. Fourthly, another misconception with reference to salvation is that some people say, oh, well, I'm not good enough to be saved. There's no hope for me. I could never be saved. You know, of all of the five misconceptions that we're dealing with this morning, this is perhaps the one that is closest to the truth. Because the truth of the matter is, you aren't good enough to be saved. I'm not good enough to be saved on my own. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. You know, if you take that N out, it says there is one righteous. And you know who that one was? It was the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was born of a virgin, who came to this earth and for 33 years lived a perfect, sinless life as the Lamb of God. And when he was crucified on that cross, according to God's purpose from the foundation of the world, he took your sins upon him. And the Word of God says, you're not good enough to be saved. None of us are. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when we come short, that means that we fall to perdition. I remember as a young boy, I used to enjoy broad jumping and track and competition. And I remember as a young elementary boy, I'd jump across that pit and the measuring reed would be taken out. The distance that I had jumped would be measured. And then someone else would jump following. But you know, if I know that someone had jumped 13 feet, and then here I am running, trying to beat that, if I only jump 12 feet, I've come short 1 foot of meeting the standard for victory. Well, the Bible says, even at our best, even at our moral best, we fall short of God's standard. What is God's standard? It's His glory. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The glory of God is His standard of righteousness, which is perfection. Be ye holy as I am holy, the Word of God says. And we're not good enough to be saved. The Word of God says that we're sinners by birth and by deed. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and that's through Adam, death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We're all sinners by nature and by choice, and we've committed acts of sin. So you see, my beloved, you're not good enough to be saved. And that's the first step of falling before God at His feet in repentance, admitting, Lord Jesus, I'm a poor, lost sinner. I need to be saved. Come into my heart and save me. I'm truly not good enough in and of myself to be saved. Then there's the fifth misconception of salvation. And perhaps this is the most pernicious and so often the most common. It's the misconception that all religions will get you to heaven. This is the concept of the Masonic Lodge, which say that all gods are the one true God. And there's the God who is the architect of the universe. You may call Him Allah, you may call Him Buddha, you may call Him Hare Krishna, you may call Him Confucius, or you may call Him God. But they're all different paths leading to the same place. Now, if you believe that, the Word of God says, and I say this as kindly and lovingly as I can, you're on the road to perdition. Because Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Notice that Jesus didn't say, I am a way, as if there were many ways. He didn't say, I am a truth, as if there were many truths. He didn't say, I am a life. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. The definite article particularizing and specifying that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. I think of Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. God's Word says, and this is the message of Peter addressing the political supreme court of his land. He stood before them boldly, and those that were trusting in their own righteousness for salvation, He said, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Yes, it was the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I understand that many may not consider my words this morning politically correct. But listen, I'd rather be correct with the Lord God of heaven and incorrect with the masses of men, and have the approval of hearing my Savior say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We at Central Florida Bible Church proclaim the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ without fear or without apology. And if you're looking for a Bible-believing church that seeks to cut straight the Word of God and rightly divide the Word of truth, I'd encourage you to worship and fellowship with us around the things of God. So we've seen the five misconceptions about salvation. I'd like for us now to look at the meaning of salvation. Oh, when you talk about salvation or you ask someone, are you saved? You'll have all kinds of answers, won't you? Some people think that what it means to be saved is to be saved from their problems. And somehow if they give mental assent to certain types of truths, that God will automatically help them kick a habit, or perhaps straighten out their marriage, or perhaps put more food on the table, or get them that job that they're seeking. And for them, Christianity and salvation is an escape hatch. It's a genie inside of a Bible where you rub the side of the Bible and poof, here's God to give you all the health and the wealth and the prosperity that you may desire. But salvation does not mean freedom from your problems. The Christian life is not an escape hatch from problems. The Lord promises to guide you through your problems, yes. He promises that all of your problems will result to make you conform to the image of Jesus Christ, and they'll work for your eternal good. He says that in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. But then it says, to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. Others say salvation is simply hell insurance. I don't want to go to hell, and I heard some fire-breathing evangelist preaching on hell. I don't want to go there. I'm going to do whatever he says I ought to, so I don't go there. But you know, have you been confronted with the holiness of God? Do you understand who God is? Do you understand your need for repentance of sin? Do you believe that Jesus Christ bore your sins on the cross of Calvary? Do you understand that He was buried and that He rose again the third day and that He's coming back for your salvation? See, the Word of God teaches us that salvation comes from the Greek word soteria, which means to deliver. The Lord came to save us, that is, to deliver us from the guilt and the penalty of sin. He came to deliver us from the eternal separation from God in hell, and we must come to Him as personal Savior, and in so doing, receive the gift of God, which is eternal life. But then there needs to be a desire to serve Him and glorify Him as a result of knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. And those who are saved will want to serve Him. It's not just walking an aisle or raising a hand and then forgetting about all manner of decisions that you've made, but it's desiring to yield your life in obedience to God. That demonstrates the authenticity of true heart repentance. Oh, we've seen the misconceptions of salvation, five of them. We've seen the meaning of salvation. But now, look at the method of salvation. The method of salvation is this. 1 Peter 1:16 says, as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We've seen that we cannot attain the righteousness of God. We must realize that we are sinners, and thus separated from God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Separation from God in hell for all eternity. But the Bible also says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We must realize that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. Romans 5:8 says, God commended His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Also, we need to recognize that we're commanded to repent of our sins and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. The Bible says in John 1:12, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You see, Jesus Christ made the provision for the world's salvation on the cross of Calvary. But it is only those who will repent and receive that free gift that it becomes efficacious in their lives unto salvation. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called upon Him and received Him as personal Savior? Oh, God promises to receive us and to give unto us everlasting life. The Bible says, the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. I'd like to close with this illustration of the need to sincerely receive Christ and His forgiveness and His pardon. In 1830, a man named George Wilson was sentenced to be hanged for robbery and murder. Andrew Jackson, who was at that time the President of the United States, granted him a pardon. Wilson refused to accept that pardon, and he insisted that unless he did so, it was not a pardon. The Attorney General said that the law was silent on the matter, and he referred it to the Supreme Court. Chief Justice Marshall gave the following decision: a pardon is a paper the value of which depends on its acceptance by the person implicated. It is hardly to be supposed that one under sentence of death would refuse a pardon, but if it is refused, it is no pardon. George Wilson must be hanged. May I express to you the reality that Jesus Christ has granted you a pardon from your sins and a pardon to receive everlasting life if you will receive it in the name of Jesus Christ as the one who died for you. But if you refuse His gracious offer, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, he shall die. Speaking of eternal destruction in hell. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Let's bow our heads and our hearts together as we pray for God's special work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Heavenly Father, I pray that if there's one listening to my voice that has never prayed the sinner's prayer for salvation, that in their hearts they would pray this prayer now: Lord Jesus, have mercy unto me, a sinner. I see my need of salvation. I know that I cannot save myself, but I repent of my sins and look to Jesus Christ, who alone bore my sins on the cross of Calvary, paid the price through His holy life and His sacrifice in my place. And I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Ask Him to come into my heart. Lord, I believe You died for me, You were buried, You rose again, and You're coming for me. Lord, I want to be prepared. I receive You by faith. Help me to serve You as best as I can. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. If you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, please contact us at strengthfortoday.info. We'll be glad to send you some helpful literature to help you to get started right in the Christian life. Let me also say that at the end of this broadcast, there'll be some helpful instruction. If there's anyone that has a special need or a prayer, please contact us so that we might be able to help you in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to each one that is listening, these words I leave with you. If you come to Jesus by faith, believing His word, the best is yet to come.
Thank you for tuning in this morning to Strength for Today, the radio preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church that meets in the Goldenrod Civic Club, located in Winter Park, just 3 traffic lights east of Cimarron Boulevard at the intersection of Aloma and Palmetto. For more information about Central Florida Bible Church, to comment on the broadcast, to request a complimentary copy of today's message, or to listen to other messages by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. That's strengthfortoday.info, I-N-F-O, or you may call Pastor John Pereira at 407-656-9683. That's 407-656-9683. This is Charles Schaeff inviting you to come and worship with us tomorrow at the 10 a.m. Bible study classes for all ages and the 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. preaching services. Our prayer service is Wednesday at 7 p.m. May the Lord richly bless you as you go forth to serve Him.